friends. I'm Tabby.
And I'm Caitlin, and today we are discussing One Dark Window by Rachel Gillig. It is book one of the Shepherd King series.
You know what? I don't think I have been so excited to talk about a book in a while.
I agree.
Not even a book, but like a fantasy book.
Yes, a fantasy book specifically.
Specifically that. Because this was just something so special.
It was, and it seems like on Goodreads, people do generally agree. The rating is a 4.29, and that's with 372,000
Wow.
ratings. So that's got a lot of input.
And honestly, I think I know why, like, some of the ratings may have been lower, because it's not romantic-y. It is
Yes.
fantasy with romance.
Yes.
Like a
And
romance aspect.
a lot of people do prefer a romance heavy plot.
Yeah. And that wasn't this, but it was still so
No,
good.
it's so good. Okay, so let me read the back of the book and then we'll talk about what we thought. So it says, Elspeth needs a monster. The monster might be her. Elspeth Spindle needs more than luck to stay safe in the eerie, mist-locked kingdom of Blunder. She needs a monster. She calls him the Nightmare, an ancient mercurial spirit trapped in her head. He protects her, he keeps her secrets. But nothing comes for free, especially magic. When Elspeth meets a mysterious highwayman on the forest road, her life takes a drastic turn. Thrust into a world of shadow and deception, she joins a dangerous quest to cure Blunder from the dark magic infecting it. And the highwayman, he just so happens to be the king's nephew, captain of the most dangerous men in Blunder, and guilty of high treason. Together, they must gather 12 providence cards, the keys to the cure. But as the stakes heighten and their undeniable attraction intensifies, Elspeth is forced to face her darkest secret yet. The nightmare is slowly taking over her mind, and she might not be able to stop him.
Man, the back of the book kind of like spoiled a lot of stuff.
It did,
Like,
because I did not read the back of the book
I didn't
before I
either.
read it, and so I did not know that the people she met on the road were going to be
No.
committing high treason.
And I didn't know that the nightmare was going
To take over
to
her
take over
mind.
her mind.
No, I didn't either. Okay, so hopefully you've already read the book if you're listening to this.
You should have already read the book.
Yeah, that does kind of give some things away.
So, what would you rate this
I'm so glad you asked. I
book?
would rate this book a 10 out of 10. I seriously, like, I loved everything about it. I thought it was spooky and mysterious, you know, and I also thought the magic system was super interesting and new. I've never read anything similar to this magic system. And then, like we said, I haven't had this much fun reading a fantasy book in a while because I think what is really popular right now, and we love these, so I'm not saying anything negative about these, but what tends to be more popular right now is romanticy, where romance is the main focus, and then it's kind of set in a fantasy
With
world
a good plot
with a
line.
good plot line, yes. And we love that. I am not saying that that is bad at all, but sometimes you want to read something where the fantasy element is the main element and romance is involved, but it's more of a subplot and the overall plot is more driven in like the fantasy world. And that's what this book is.
Yeah.
So it was just really refreshing to me and I liked it a lot.
I also gave it a 10 out of 10. I actually do know a few different people who have read it and they did not like it, and that's okay. Or they just didn't like it as much as I did. But I just feel like when I was reading this book, all I could picture was like those really fun like 80s gothic like remakings, like the videos and
Yes,
stuff of
the
like
dark fantasy,
yes. And
sci-fi.
that's exactly like what I was kind of picturing throughout this, was just that
Yes.
like genre or that type of story.
Oh my God, like her, like Elspeth just like running dramatically in slow motion through the mist, and
Yes.
there's like mysterious, like crumbled ruins behind her.
Exactly. Because you're just thinking of like this mist shrouded castle in Blender, and then you have like the used castle that's like very haunted and gothic and dark, and just like the characters themselves, like with the coloring they specifically chose for the characters and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just the vibes I was getting, and I loved it. I loved it
Yeah.
so much. And it was just, I don't know, it was very immersive. And that's like something as I've gotten older, What I want more from a book is just more of an immersive experience where like I can picture it very clearly, like what it looks like. And I haven't really gotten that since I've read like ACOTAR and like Throne of Glass. Like you just don't really get like the world building as much.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because the feeling that I got reading this book for me was a very similar feeling to the first time I read the Throne of Glass series, where everything just felt really big and adventurous. Like everything about it just felt epic. And all of the characters felt really like magnetic, even the villains. Like they are like scary, evil villains, hate them, you know, but in a good way, like in a way that's interesting. So I felt that way about this book. And Throne of Glass is just one of my favorite fantasy series. So from me, that's like high praise.
Yeah, and it's I like that you mentioned the villains because it's like some of these like villains are not really villains. Like there is one truant, it's the king clearly, but like yeah, these people who are also like just multifaceted and like they have their own agenda, but it may not necessarily be like a bad agenda.
For sure. And Elspeth has to like figure that out like throughout the story because she is so initially distrustful of these people that she ends up becoming closest to.
She very much like represents like the whole tagline for this story, which is the be wary, be clever, be good. Which first of all, give me like it gave me chills.
Snaps for
Like the
Rachel.
first time like I read that, I was just like, oh,
Be wary, be clever,
okay.
be good.
Like that is just I don't know. I can't even describe like the feelings like this story gave me. It was just so like spooky and so like tangible.
Yes, I agree. I just felt like I was swept away. Like, and it's funny because it took me so long to read this book. This book was published in 2022. I just read it yesterday. Like in one day, I read it. And as I was like tearing through this book, I just kept having the thought over and over again of like, how did it take me so long to pick this up? Like, why did I wait so long to read this? And with that being said, let's talk about the characters because there's a lot of them.
They're so good. Every single one of them, I don't
They're
think there
so
was a
good.
character that like I may not have liked, but I appreciated the role they played in this book.
Yes. I really thought the cast of characters was super
Everyone was so
colorful.
intentional.
Yes, that's a good word for this book. Starting with Elspeth, because she is our main character.
She's
I
cool. I
thought,
love her.
speaking of be clever, be wary, be good, she is so wary. She is a cynical, pessimistic lady, and I love that about her because it gives us a starting point where her like character arc is so obvious. She doesn't trust anyone. And she doesn't trust herself because she's got the nightmare in her brain. And so she's just a pessimistic queen.
He's just constantly talking shit in her ear too. Like I see
Yes.
he's just so sassy to
And I
her.
love
And
it.
I
I
love
love
their
it.
relationship.
I do too. And another thing that, not to just keep comparing this to like popular fantasy books, but I thought it was kind of a fun little riffing. It kind of reminded me of like Violet and Terne a little bit, where you've got like that super old, wise voice in this really young woman's head.
Like trying to care for this like very naive and
Yes, and
inexperienced person.
fragile little small woman. But yeah, I love her. I really don't have a negative thing to say about her. Because I even love her flaws.
I do too. And it's like I love how she never really created like a conflict for herself either. Like I feel like she was just very like open. Like as much as she could be about what her intentions were and like what she was trying to do, and like even though she couldn't tell like Raven and everyone else like exactly what was going on, like I don't feel like at any point she really was like trying to purposefully deceive them. She just didn't want them to think she was like insane.
Because the only way for her to rid herself of this is to work with them, collect all the Providence cards, and, you know, get rid of the mist, cure the infection. And so in her mind, she's like, I cannot jeopardize that. I cannot tell these people about this
affliction.
Yeah, this thing that is potentially dangerous for everyone involved, because she's like, then we won't, like, they'll, I don't know, kill me, turn me in,
Yeah.
something.
And honestly, I feel like for all the trauma she's had in her life, she's turned out pretty okay.
Yeah.
Her mom died and her dad kind of like told her to fuck off to her aunt and uncle's house. And like, she has a very evil stepmother and like very creepy sisters. And
And she
like,
did like almost die multiple times as a
multiple times.
child. Yeah,
Yeah, no.
traumatic. And now she's
She turned out
possessed.
okay.
She did. She's fine. Leave her alone.
She's making really relatively good decisions for the most part.
She's being clever.
She's very clever and she's got a good heart, I can tell. Like
She's all
she's,
three.
yeah, she's
Very clever and
the
good.
trifecta. The nightmare though, like
Why I do know. And what's so funny is we know we're not alone in this, because I just sent Tavi a post yesterday that was in the same vein of like, the nightmare is fine.
the nightmare's hot and everyone knows it, and I'll stand by that.
Yeah,
I'll
if
stand
you
by
don't know
that.
it, if you disagree,
You didn't read the book if you
yeah,
don't agree.
you didn't read the book. You didn't read the same book as me.
You didn't appreciate the book the way it was meant to be appreciated. That man
Yeah.
is a protector,
Oh.
and he is, and he's
He's
a little
a good
bit,
man, Savannah.
well, he's also a little bit evil, I think. But like, I think he's evil just because of like the cards he's been dealt, quite literally, the cards he's been dealt.
Well, imagine what he's been through. Like, he went through a lot. And I think
He also doesn't have a
he
soul.
was, yeah, like his soul got ripped out of him. But what he was doing, I think, was coming from a good place. Like, when he was trying to create those cards for his people, he was trying to allow them to use magic without having to have, like, dire consequences. He was
Yeah.
like, this will be good for my people and my kingdom. I think it really started off from a good place. And then as he kept giving up more and more of himself, I think it became a little bit of an obsession more than anything. But then whenever he was ultimately like fucked over and betrayed is when I think he was like, I'm gonna be evil now,
Well, and
actually.
that's just like the very sad thing about it too, is like he continuously says, magic comes at a cost. And it's like the cost really was him like losing every aspect of like his humanity. And I'm sure like that slow, gradual decline like didn't really register for him until it was too late. And he's like, oh shit.
And he's like, oh, I am a monster.
Like this is bad.
It's really bad. And then with like his entire home and family being like burned to the ground,
Yeah.
like that shit, that sucks.
And so, yeah, I mean, Elspeth, I think, really did become like almost like his like penance. Like that was like a way for him to, I don't even know. Like I don't think he wants to be reformed. Like I think he truly does want revenge,
Think he wants
but
revenge.
like I do think
But
he begrudgingly loves Elspeth.
yes, whenever that little girl had this magic to free him from the card, I think he was like, oh, fuck yeah, like this is my chance. And he's like, I'm going to keep this vessel alive so that I can have my revenge. I think ultimately that's where we started.
Yeah.
But then he was in
Along the
this
way.
girl's brain for 11 years. And I think that can soften even his cold, cold heart.
Yeah.
And then the more that they started to become one, the more that he cared for her.
Oh,
And I
yeah.
think that we're going to get, like, that's going to become clear, like, as the story is wrapped up in book two. Obviously, I haven't read book two yet because I haven't read these before, but I
Yeah.
just have a feeling that his redemption is going to be, like, self-sacrificing, for Elspeth.
It was just, I don't know, like when her degeneration was up and she knew it was up and he knew it was up, like it was really sad.
It
Like I was really,
was.
really sad for both of them. And like, I think even his little evil heart was broken, especially when he was like, my darling, you've always had a choice,
Yeah.
but like, we're gonna have to make this choice together.
I know.
But Nightmare Elspeth is about to go crazy.
She is so scary and I love her.
That's gonna pop off.
Again, I keep drawing like all these comparisons, but they're like good ones. Not good ones like, oh, you're so smart, but like good as in I like them.
Yeah.
Like Caltaine.
I was just about to
In
say
Throne of
that.
Glass, yes, like she obviously had a much different character arc than Elspeth, but I think, like, yes, Elspeth is about to use this power for good. Obviously, what she chose was very self-sacrificing, and it's ultimately for all of the children that are like her that are becoming infected, and Emery and Raven. She did not make that choice lightly.
No, so that's going to be very interesting. Now, Raven is another character, and you know what? I'm just never going to get over the, tall, dark, and handsome
Think
trope. I just won't.
it's funny to me that I'm
But
blown
he's
away every
different.
time.
It's
Well,
different.
yes, he does have a lot of things that set him apart, I think. Because what's really, I think, my favorite thing about Raven is that he's not all like brooding and mysterious. He's also boyish and flirty. Like, he's both. He's a young man. And I think when Rachel wrote him, like, she made him very multifaceted in a way that makes sense. Like, yes, whenever he is acting as captain, like, he has to be very serious and like almost take on this persona that's not really himself. And then the people that are closest to him, they know, like, I mean, yeah, he's not like the goofiest guy in the world, but like, he does have a sense of humor, and he does like
He's not
to
just a, like
loosen
a
up around them.
stone.
Exactly. And I think, like, sometimes the tall, dark, and handsome gets a little too caught up in like the broody archetype.
Well, and she even talks about like the different masks that he has, and like he only really lets Elspeth and Elm and Jesper see who he truly is. Like he's only comfortable around his family. And even like when he's like a highwayman, that's a completely different persona like he takes on. Like he's very cocky and confident, which I think that's my favorite version
That's
of
my
Raven.
Raven.
Now, me personally, I think it's an injustice that we didn't get to see more of
We
that.
needed more.
Highwayman, Raven, and
Yeah.
Elm. Honestly, I love them both.
Same. And another interesting thing about Raven, and we get this, I don't know if your book had like a bonus chapter from his perspective. Okay, mine did. And it was like after the equinox, whenever he like finds her and Emery on the stairwell, and Emery's about to like push her over the banister. He had been thinking about her since he got his ass handed to him as a highwayman. And what's so funny is I think he low-key liked it that she knocked him on his ass twice, because he said something about it. But it's just like an interesting thing about him is that he was like drawn to her immediately because of this, like, I mean, we can assume it has something to do with their infection and like the magic that they wield, but like that he felt that, and it almost is like it tethered them together, and he was like,
Ooh.
I need that. I need to
You'll have to
find her
send
again.
me that because I
Yeah.
did not have the bonus chapter because I read
I'll
it
send
on
it
my
to you.
Kindle. And I know
Okay,
you have
yes.
like the
I have like the
special
Barnes and
limited
Noble.
edition.
Yes, I'll send it to
Okay.
you.
Love that. But yeah, no, I like that he did break down his walls, especially like at the end when he was like, or she asked him, like, are you still pretending? And he was like, no, I was never pretending. I was like, ah, I'm just gonna pass away.
He's like, I actually have been obsessed with, and whenever you read the bonus chapter, you'll see he's been thinking about her since she knocked him on his ass in the woods.
It's just so delicious.
Yeah,
It's
it really is.
delicious.
It's delicious, but it's like, and it's like a bonus because it's not the main plot. And that's
No.
what I love about it, is like we're just getting this delicious little romance subplot as a little extra sprinkle sprinkle.
And so, yeah, and their relationship is just going to get even like more challenging in the next book too, now that the nightmare has like completely taken over. And so
Yeah.
it's like, ooh.
He's like, that's my woman, but she's kind of scary
But
right now,
she's
but
like
she's
a little
in there somewhere.
scary. So I won't say much more on it because I genuinely am so excited to talk about book two. Okay, I think so I pronounce it Ione.
I do too. And I tried to like Google it, and I think Ione is a correct pronunciation. I also think like Ione is an
Ione.
iteration, but I think Ione is a
Okay.
pronunciation of this name. So,
And we could be wrong, who's to say? But that's how we're rolling with it, is Ione.
Ione.
You know what? You can't hate her.
You can't.
You want to be her.
You want to be mad at her at first because you're like, why aren't you listening? Like, why aren't you listening to Elspeth and like your mother? And why are you making this crazy decision to basically be sold to this prince?
She's a
But then
schemer.
she could have either been scheming from the very beginning, which I would totally believe, or she could have genuinely just been naive and been like, that sounds like a dream. And then as soon as she realized that it wasn't, she was like, okay, I'm gonna start scheming now. So it's like, I'm not sure exactly which one it was. I would believe either. But now she clearly still, even though she's like quote unquote heartless and cold because of the mating card, she still obviously cares deeply for Elspeth's
Oh, yeah.
well-being.
And does
She
anything she
saves her
can to save
many
her?
times. Yes. And Elspeth is low-key scared of her now, but she's also like, well, she is still protecting me. So what's really going on
She's
here?
in there somewhere.
I really want to know more about her.
I will say, like, she's probably my favorite character in the next book, or one of
Oh,
my favorite characters in the next book.
amazing. So we get a lot more of her.
I love her, and I'm not gonna, again, I don't want to speak more on her because I don't want to spoil anything, but I do
Okay.
love her.
I am so excited because obviously we are being set up for something interesting with her.
It's so
Okay,
good.
I can't wait. Let's talk about her aunt and uncle because first of all, I just want to say her aunt is a wonderful, beautiful,
Opal
selfless
is
woman.
just, yeah, a saint for
I
putting
love
up with all this
her,
bullshit.
and I wish she had better, and I hope she gets better in book two because she is so sad whenever all of a sudden Ione was betrothed to the prince and
And her
Elspeth was
husband's out here
gone.
lying,
Yes.
and she's over here with two rowdy ass children. Like,
Yeah, and she just like felt so lonely without her girls, I think.
her character reminded me a lot of Alice from
Oh. Wow,
ACOTAR.
from ACOTAR. There's a
Yeah,
lot of
once
like
again.
things we can draw together. Yeah.
But I mean, her uncle is just such a spineless little worm. And I don't know
Yes.
if he was always like, I mean, he must have been because he was like that when Elspeth was younger too, because that's how she ended up in this whole
Yeah.
situation. But it's like, at what point down the road did this happen? Because I'm sure Opal would not have just actively wanted to be with someone evil.
Right. God, I don't know unless he just is completely dishonest and kind of wears a mask that she couldn't see through. I don't know. It breaks my heart because Opal deserves the world and this guy
He is,
sucks. He just like traded his daughter away and
was hiding like a pretty big secret from her, like having the nightmare card. Like, that is the one card the king's been looking for like years. And like,
Everyone implies whenever like he did betray everyone, like someone makes an offhand comment where they're like, oh, Tyrion, he's always wanting to do anything for a coin. Maybe it was whenever they were talking about her going to live with him when she was
yeah,
infected.
Elm said that, yeah.
Yes. And it's
Because
like,
her
I
dad had
guess,
to pay him.
yeah, he really just is a greedy asshole. I don't know.
Because her aunt was like, I'll just take her because that's my
Because
sister's
I
child.
love her.
And he
And
was
he was
like,
like, you're gonna
no.
have to pay me money.
You have to pay the pauper. Piper. Piper.
whatever the saying is.
Pay the piper.
Next, let's talk about her dad, stepmom, and half sisters, starting with her dad. He's complex. He's more complex than I thought.
Opinions definitely, I know yours did too. Like, mine definitely changed throughout the book.
Obviously, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. Like he was a pretty shitty dad, like to her when she was growing
Yeah.
up. However, I think the circumstances were definitely extenuating.
Yeah.
He did have to do something because I think he knew if he kept Elspeth in his house and she was infected, Nerium hates her. I think he knows that. And he was like, she won't allow this. Like she will turn in my daughter. So I think the only way he could really like get Nerium to not betray them that way was by sending her away.
Here's my thing though. Like, how come in every book the dad, like after his beloved wife has passed, marries the biggest cunt known to
Yeah,
man?
the evil
Like,
stepmother
how
trope.
does this keep happening? And
Yeah.
like, why are they cool with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I wonder if it's kind of like how Opal is
I
with kind of a
guess.
piece of shit, like I
But
guess it
he
just
knows
happens.
Miriam is just god awful to her and will turn her in at the drop of a hat. And he's just like, well, I mean, that's my
Yeah.
wife. Like,
It is
no, you chose
odd.
that.
It is odd. I agree. His redemption arc is sweet, but it's not enough in this book. I think book two, there's opportunity for me to really forgive him, but as of right now, I'm kind of like, you're still on my shit list.
Doing the bare minimum. Like the well card was a very nice gesture,
Yeah,
and it was
but
nice to us because we're like, oh yeah, cool, she needed that. But
yeah.
it wasn't really enough.
It's not enough, especially because the well card, it's like, yeah, really, if you think about it, that should be Elspeth's because it was her mother's, not
Well,
yours.
and he's also like, I mean, I don't really have any use for it. It's like, okay. You didn't have to say that.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, this dusty
I was
little
like,
thing
maybe you
is
do
just
have.
laying around.
But I'm curious now if he somehow knew
Maybe he
about their
did use it.
scheme and he was like, okay, the only reason Elspeth would want to steal this is from me is something important.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I
I don't
don't
know
hate her
either.
dad. I don't like him, though,
Yeah,
so.
same. And I think there's room for a bigger redemption arc
I
for
do think
him.
he loves her, though. I do
Yes,
think
he
he loves
does.
her.
He does.
Miriam does not. She loves no one but herself and her creepy ass kids.
Her little shining twins, they,
They
okay.
are so scary.
When Elspeth woke up and they were just standing at the foot of her bed staring at her, no. No. Sorry. I would leave. I would be like, I'm not staying here with you
And
anymore.
every time she's like, and they turn and spoke to each other in the language that like only twins know, I'm like, stop.
I already think twins are kind of creepy at
So does
baseline.
Emery.
Yes.
So she's like, twins really creep me. I'm like, yeah, me
Yes,
too,
I love everything about
actually.
Emery because he and I,
We
we agree with each other on a lot of
are
things.
on the same wavelength. Yeah, no, I mean, I just don't really give a shit about her like extended family. They kind of suck. The twins suck, and like they had to because their mom is just the worst, and so
Yeah, it's not
they
their
were
fault,
doomed
really.
from the beginning.
Yeah, they're just silly girls,
They
and
are just girls.
yeah, they are. And I hopefully something happens in their life that like makes them better people, but it won't be because of good parenting. I can tell
No.
you that much.
No.
Jesper.
Jasper is so cool.
I love her.
She's so cool, and we didn't get enough of her.
No, I wanted more, and I hope we get more in book two. Everything about her is positive. Like,
Yeah.
she's an amazing and talented like fighter. She's very
She's a girl's
kind.
girl.
She's a girl's girl. She's a good friend. She's a good sister. Everything about her is just good. Like,
She
she's
wants to have a
perfect.
good time.
Yeah, she's not mean to anyone. Like, she'll kind of rib people, but
Even though she's trying to prove like herself, she is not like putting anyone else down to do so. Like it is
yeah.
all just through like hard work and dedication and like
Yeah.
loyalty to her brother.
I know. Oh,
And I love,
Jesper.
Jasper, I love that about you, girl.
She deserves the world.
Yeah. I was really scared when she wandered off into the forest. I was like, damn, I hope.
I thought she was a goner.
Like, I don't need this right now.
I really did kind of think that was going to happen. And I was like, okay, it makes sense. We
I
have to
mean,
lose someone that we love.
it was more just to show, I think, how powerful. Because to that point, we're just like, it's missed. Like, it's not that scary. Like, I just don't understand. And so, like, I think that really like cemented like what we were dealing with here.
Yeah. And another point about that is I do really like the idea of like the animal charms
Yes.
and how they protect against the mist. And another cool thing about like Raven is he's like, okay, he teaches Elspeth, if you are already infected, you don't need a charm, but he still carries a viper's head to work as like basically like in the Hunger Games, Nightlock berries. When all
Yeah.
else fails,
He's
he's
like, I'm
out.
gonna kill myself.
I'm gonna kill myself just in case, just in
But it's
case.
like also like that goes to show like they should carry it on him anyway because like
Yeah.
she had to go track him down to get like if she had just had her crow's foot on her like
I know she
she
could have
always
just
does she could have just
given
given
it.
it to her.
Yeah. So I think,
That's a
yeah,
lesson we all
that's a
learned.
lesson we learned. Hey,
That was a lesson.
and that's something that she'll probably never think about again now that she's infected or not infected, fully taken over by the nightmare.
Yeah,
But
no, she no, because he doesn't care.
No, he's
He
like,
doesn't
sorry,
care.
Jasper.
My bad. Oh my God, I'm so excited to talk about Elm. Listen, you're never going to get me with the asshole best friend. I'm always gonna love him.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
He's meant to be loved.
come on.
And he cares so much about Raven. I think
Even
it's
though
so
he'll never
sweet.
say that, like,
Yeah. No, he would never say it out loud, but he shows it every day.
he is so damaged that he will never show outward affection, but it's there.
He, I think, is the perfect comedic relief in so many scenes in the book as well. Like, it'll be something like really intense, and then she just like perfectly uses him and his little asshole ways to like break it up.
You know what I think is just like very pure about him too is that like he is never ever ever going to let someone get bullied. Like Ianie, for example, when Hoth uses the scythe card on her, like he was just so gentle with her and was like trying to like make her understand like she was not in control of her own actions. I thought that was very sweet because
Yes.
that's just not how he is. And he's the same way with Emery too. Like he just takes a completely different tone and approach with Emery without like treating him like he is a sick kid, but like still making him feel like very welcome.
Yes. And he also does that at one point with Elspeth, and I think it's on market day. Like whenever oh no, it's not. It's when they're in her father's house for like the
Yeah,
half
up in her
sisters.
bedroom.
Yes. And like that guy, Balian, like they're
Like manservant.
staff, yeah, their house staff was disrespectful, and he was like, "Oh, not on my watch," and
He's like, no,
literally
you're gonna bow to her.
made him bow. And I was like, "Oh my God,
Like,
yes,
he stands for no disrespect, and I do love that about him.
yes." And he didn't even really like Elspeth or trust her. He
No.
just did that because he was like, "Oh, I won't tolerate that."
He hates a bully. He hates a
He
bully.
hates a bully.
So excited to read more about Elm. Very
Yeah.
complex, very cool character. Super sad backstory. I want to
I
know more.
know. He deserves the world. Moret and Fenir, is that how you say his name? Fenir.
Fenrir.
So they are the Yue parents, and I think
They're so fucking cool.
they
They're
are
so
so
cool.
cool. They're such a neat addition to this story because like they are in it, you know, like they are fully participating in this
Well,
treason to
I
save
think
their baby
they're
boy.
the backbone of the treason. Like, I feel like they're the ones who are like, okay, what we're gonna do
They said, sit down,
is
kids.
have the kids dress up as highwaymen. We're gonna get their asses out there and we're gonna
Well,
take it down from the inside.
yes. And I think that they are just so, like, that entire family is so loyal and close-knit. And, like, seeing their interactions with each other, too, there's, like, a sort of, like, they're not, like, outwardly, like, super affectionate with each other, but there is, like, such a
No.
deep-rooted, like, mutual respect that's
Yeah.
obvious in every interaction. And Elspeth notices it. Like, at one point, she was like, Moret opened the door without even knocking because it's, like, Fenrir's, like, private office or whatever. And Fenrir's just
Yeah.
like, okay, what's up? Like, he's just excited to see his wife come in.
Hey.
Yeah. So I just think that's not something Elspeth was used to, too,
No.
because she grew up with. Obviously, her parents did love each other very much, but like, I don't think Opal and
Yeah.
her uncle were like necessarily
They're not like
a
in love, I
super
don't
in love
think.
couple. Yeah.
I don't think they love each other.
So, yeah, she noticed that.
Well, and it's like, first of all, their vibes are very interesting. Like, they live in this spooky haunted castle, and like, they are just giving off, like, not cultish vibes, but like, just
A
like
little.
a little bit. Like, they have like a secret hidden room in the cellar where they have like secret meetings
Yeah.
and like just very like gothic secret society type vibes, and I think that
Yes.
is very cool.
And it
Like,
is like very fitting as well for Moret to have the prophet card as like that's the
yes.
prominence card she uses. I think that fits her vibe.
Well, and just the fact that like she is the king's sister and like she clocked his shit from like a mile away and
Oh
was like,
yeah.
that dude is evil, we're
Yeah.
not doing that.
One thing that's interesting about her is I feel like she knows more than she lets on about like the heritage because like Emery has said out loud that like they're descendants of the Shepherd King because he
Yeah.
has like this knowledge because the infection like
Right.
basically gives him this knowledge with his powers. I think she realizes more than she lets on about like
Sure.
the ancient bloodlines and like how her bloodline betrayed her husband's bloodline. And
Right.
she probably is like, okay, well, I'm picking sides now.
Like, I'm gonna keep that to
And we're going
myself
to
for
right this
right
wrong.
now.
I feel like she knows, and she's going to be very important in book two. I just have a
Well, yeah, it's
feeling.
like in just the fact that like they have so many like homages to the Shepherd King, like in their
Yeah, in their
home.
home. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, very interesting. Filic, Filic played like a very small part. Like his character wasn't necessarily useful, except that he like could kind of get the deets on his creepy little cousin or uncle. I don't know how they're
I don't
related.
know,
I'm not sure.
actually.
I hate him. I hate his
Yeah.
family member. Anyway, like he found her when she was sleepwalking. He patched her up a couple times. It kind of sounds like he's just their resident doctor, and like
Yeah.
that's about it.
Yeah, and I wondered if we were being set up for something because, like, Elspeth is distrustful of him for good reason. Like, she doesn't trust physicians in general. And I felt distrustful of him, and I kind of wondered if we were like being set up for some kind of betrayal, but I don't know. Like, that definitely didn't happen in book one, and maybe it won't happen in book two,
No, and I
but.
wonder if like that's initially what she was going to do and then was like no and then just kind of wrote his character out almost
Yeah.
and was just he's just extra at that point.
Yeah.
Like I think out of all the characters he's probably the most useless one.
And I think that's fine in a book. Like,
Yeah.
obviously, it just kind of fleshes out the world around them, and it's like, okay, yes, this group of people does have like access to the inside through the physicians as well. So it's like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, they would probably want that and need that. So I think it does round out the
Yeah.
storyline, regardless of whether his character plays an important part in the
Sure.
whole plot. But yeah, he's fine.
Hoth is not fine.
Hoth is not, he is so scary.
He's a sick freak.
Oh my God, when he broke her arm, first of all, I just have a thing with like broken bones. Like, it freaks me out so bad. And I was not expecting it. So when it happened, like, I just got like sick to my stomach. And I was so
Yeah.
scared. And I was like, this is it. She's dead.
Well, so like he does that, and then like, so not only is he like a brute physically, but he's also just like mentally toying with all of them. Like,
Yeah.
and he's
Ooh.
not like he's smart, but he's not. He's just cruel, and
Yeah.
like he knows the right way to be cruel.
He's got like a baseline level of cleverness, but he's not thinking like one step ahead ever.
No, it's like an in the moment, like, how can I fuck your day up?
Yeah. And like his brother even says at one point, Elm, he's like, my brother's not that bright. Like, he's really not.
Yeah.
And I think part of that probably is because he's never had to really think for himself or like strategize at all, because he's always had the Scythe card. He's always had like this position of power. So yeah, I just think he's
Well,
never really been in a position where he's needed to.
right, and it's like his solution is just like brute strength, and it's
Yeah.
like he doesn't have to do anything because he's gonna be the king, and it's like if whatever he says goes, like why
And for
does
the
he need
most part, it
to?
works for him, but
Yeah.
except that he wants to be captain of the Destriers, and
Yeah.
he's
He's not playing the long con here.
Yeah, no, he is very in the moment, impulsive type of a person.
When he like pulled the chalice card on all of them, like my heart sank a little
That was so
bit.
scary.
Well, first of all, I was like, what is going on with her cousin? Why is she acting like this? And then, like, he pulls up and he's like, yeah, everyone take a drink. I was like, no. Oh, I don't know. He's just so gross and he's so creepy. And I was really glad when she kind of fucked his shit up at the end there. But, like,
Yeah.
he's a cockroach.
He's
He
gonna be
didn't
fine.
die,
No.
but she did, like, wound him pretty severely. He's not going to be the same.
And he is gonna have it out for her. Like, he is gonna
Yeah.
be so, he got his ass handed to him by a girl. He's gonna be so mad.
Oh,
So
yeah.
mad.
Hate Hoth. I hate his character. I think he's gross. I think he's a very good villain. Disgusting. And then last but not least, sweet, sweet, sweet Emery.
Emery, I love that little freak.
He is so silly.
I was scared of him at first because our introduction to him is a little bit frightening.
It was a little intense.
Because Elspeth did kind of think that he was going to toss her over the banister, and I think he might have, but I don't think he was like intentionally doing that. I think he
Yeah.
was just like, oh, like he's not like aware of his surroundings whenever
No, he
he's
has
in
no
that.
clue what's going
So in
on.
his mind, I don't think he realized he was holding a woman over a banister. Oh, but he is so funny too. So this is when Elm and Raven were arguing about something, I don't know, but Emery said, "I love when they argue. Keeps my weak little heart beating." And he's so silly. I love it.
No, and I love that he was like low-key a little bit down bad for Elspeth, even though he could never remember who she was.
Yeah, he's like,
Like
ooh.
every time he was like, "Have we met?" She's like, "Yeah, like 5 times now." And he's like, "Oh, you're very beautiful."
I thought you were gonna give me a little kiss.
Yeah, he's like, "You know, like the maiden's going to give me a kiss and like heal my poor broken soul." And I'm like, "Oh,
I know, it honestly made
okay."
me sad for
Like, that
him.
was really sad, but you were so cute.
I'm ready for them to save this boy's life. I love him so much.
Me too. So just as always, we're going to talk about some thoughts and concerns that we had towards the book, although I didn't really have too many concerns at all.
Yeah, same.
I liked this book a lot.
I did too. Let's talk about the, we'll start with the things that we did like. One of the, like, my favorite parts was the little riddles from
Yes.
the book that were at the beginning of each chapter. I thought that they were, obviously, they were foreshadowing a lot of things that would happen in that chapter or later in the book. And then sometimes we would see them like come back again whenever it's like, oh, you remember how we foreshadowed this?
Yeah.
Well, here it's happening now. So that was really cool.
No, and it definitely read like almost like a Brothers Grimm like story.
Yes.
Like it was definitely full of like cautionary tales. Like the Book of Alders was just one big cautionary tale, basically. And so I like how that translated into the story itself too. And it definitely was reminiscent of like old fairy tales.
And like we already talked about how this story in general just felt very refreshing. Some of the things that were like new and original to me was like the way the magic system worked with the Providence cards and how they could use the magic if they were wielding the card. Also, like the mist and infection, how that was like claiming people basically to bring balance back to the world. I thought that
Yeah.
was really neat as well. And just like
Yeah,
the
it's all about
lore.
just like balances, like
Yes. And I thought
nothing
that was
comes
such
for
a
free.
cool
Yeah.
like theme throughout because it stayed consistent. It was like, it's just how it works. Like the spirit of the wood is not evil. It's not trying to be vengeful. It's
No.
just restoring balance.
Yeah. The one that, so I put this in stuff I didn't like, but it's not that I didn't like it. I just wanted to again talk about how even though it wasn't romance forward, like I didn't love like how it was almost like a fade to black type scene. Like when it happened, I was like, dang. But I also love that she did that because it didn't take away from the originality of the storyline. Like I think that would
Yes.
have just really taken us out of the whole vibe and of what was going on. And so I am glad she did it.
I know. I do kind of feel like, yes, there is such a thing that we're used to now with romanticism where we really get a lot of like detail and focus on the romantic scenes, but that is one thing I did like about this book. And I think, yeah, it might have been a little disappointing in the moment because we love them so much. Like we're rooting for their characters. We want to see them be together and be happy. But I thought it was very fitting.
I do wish like we had gotten like again a little bit more with the Highwaymen. I thought that was like a very, very fun storyline, and like they had one really cool like scene where they did it, and then we didn't really get it again.
Yes, and I agree. I think what would have made it even cooler is if they had even just one more scene like that where the whole group was doing it. But I think it would have been nice to have one go like really well, like go off without a hitch. And they're like,
Yeah.
woo, you see, Elspeth, how easy this is gonna be. And then the next time when everything goes to
Right.
shit, I think that would have made it be even more like chaotic and intense.
Yeah.
So I kind of wish we had that, but I don't think it's necessarily like a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. It's just I loved how like free they were when they were the highwaymen. Like it
Yes.
just they got to shed civility
I
almost
know.
and
So I
like,
wanted to see one like go
I
super
loved
well
it.
and have everyone like, hooting and hollering.
One thing, like, I was questioning a little bit when, there was like a romantic-esque part of the story. Where did the nightmare go?
Okay.
Is he just there?
It's interesting that you mentioned this because also the nightmare is like Raven's like great 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 granddaddy as well. So, he didn't want to see that. And he's also been with Elspeth since she was a 9-year-old. So he was, I don't know.
He's been there through some pretty like weird self-discovery stuff on her end, and so it's like, where does he go?
I feel like certainly there's got to be a way for him to kind of shut that down.
Because I like that is also what kind of took me out of that whole part. I was like, okay,
But
but where is
what
he?
about and imagine if like if Raven tried to like kiss her right now when she's like fully like possessed by the nightmare, he'd be like,
Ew.
oh.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I was just wondering that the whole book. I'm like, I hope he crawls into some little hole and like just doesn't listen. I
I
don't
think
know.
I don't know. I think he's got to have a way to shut it down. But it's funny because when Alex like Laburnum or
Yeah, the
Laburnum, I don't know how to say his name, but whenever he would come over and like try to flirt with Elspeth and stuff, the nightmare was very vocal and is like, "Oh, I hate this little loser. Like, ditch him." But then whenever she was like with Raven, he never had anything negative to say. So
No,
he's like, "Ooh, I like that one." And
I don't
I think it's
know.
because it's his descendant. He's like, "Yeah, this guy's good. This one will work."
Look
Like,
at him.
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Just I was
Got
like,
to keep that
ew,
bloodline going.
that
I
was
know.
gross. I didn't like it.
Again, that kind of reminds me of like how the dragons are connected to their riders in Fourth Wing, and it's
Yeah.
like, so maybe there's got to be some way for them to like block each other
Shut it
out.
off somehow. I don't
But I
know.
don't think Elspeth is capable. I think he's got to do it himself, probably.
The last thing, so there were the two brothers that were pretending to be highwaymen with them. I don't remember what it's some Peter
Like
and
Peter
something.
and
Why
yeah, I cannot.
Wylan?
Why can
Wylan?
I not remember the other one?
It started
Yeah.
with a W. Anyway, like I just felt like they were a very random introduction to the book. And it's like, they're like, oh yeah, these two guys, they're brothers and they're gonna help us steal stuff. And we're like, cool. And then we didn't see them again.
Yeah,
And
kind of
then they're
similar
like,
to
these two
Filic.
brothers broke in to try and steal a card. And they're like, oh, okay, very cool. And then there was no other mention of them.
I think, yeah, in that same way that Filic is just kind of there to round out the team and
Yeah.
exist, I think that's kind of the purpose they were serving.
Just seemed like a weird addition.
I agree.
But it wasn't bad.
Yeah, like we said, we don't have much to complain about. Like, we are nitpicking here at this
Yeah.
point.
Grasping for straws.
Really ultimately loved this book. I
Yeah.
do want to touch on symbolism for this book
Ooh.
because like it was so cool how their like family names were all trees, and I think that must come from this world that the spirit of the wood was originally like their people's divinity, and I think that just kind of got passed down because of that, because of like the prevalence of woods in this world and their significance. So we're going to kind of talk about the all the family names and what those trees usually represent. So with Spindle, that usually symbolizes luck and hope and resilience, which I think
Oh.
it's funny to think about Elspeth as being lucky, but really she is because like
Yeah.
she has stumbled upon this like presence that basically guards her and keeps her safe. And again, that probably was like selfishly motivated on the nightmare's behalf, at least at first. But she really is lucky. There are lots of times that she should have died and she did not.
Well, and she also does provide hope for the whole group because she can see like the Providence cards and all of that, or like the nightmare can see it. And so they're like, she's going to be the key to us
Yeah.
like breaking this whole curse.
And she is very resilient as
Yes, she
well.
is. Yes, she is.
Hawthorn, this one's kind of interesting. So it can symbolize fertility and springtime, which that does kind of remind me a little bit of like Opal and Ione before she changes. But then also it can be protection and hope, which again,
Yeah.
protection and hope are something that a lot of these trees can represent. But I think that again makes sense when you consider Elspeth, how she was taken in by them. They cared for her and hid her infection away from the world. So, yeah, that makes sense. This one's my favorite. The next one, you. So, you can symbolize immortality, death and resurrection, and eternity, which is so cool because that is the Shepherd King's line. And the Shepherd King is immortal because his soul is still in existence right now because he gave it to the spirit of the wood. Rowan symbolizes protection, magic, and divination.
Which is so funny.
Yes, because they are not really, well, they protect themselves, but what's interesting about the Rowans is that they had like a monopoly on the scythe cards. So they were able to kind of like brute strength their way into power. And they did kind of, I would say, abuse the magic and divination the most out of the
Well,
like
they
family
fear it.
lines. They do fear it and they use it so that they can try to control it. The Willows. So this is like the physician family. Willow can symbolize grief and mourning, immortality and rebirth and strength. I think immortality and rebirth is kind of an interesting one for them because they kind of, especially like the evil one, is his name like Orith?
I think it's Oris.
Yeah, so he is definitely kind of like, I think rebirth kind of fits for him because he's like, we'll use these little infected children who have magic if we can, but otherwise they're getting executed. But it's like if they do use their powers, it's kind of like giving them a rebirth because they were going to have a death sentence otherwise.
Well, and he almost like acts as like the Grim Reaper, essentially. Like he is like standing between life and death for like a lot of
Yes.
these people.
And with his little hook too. Yeah. And then Whitebeam, that is Opal and Iris's family name, represents endurance and perseverance, protection, wisdom, and spirituality.
Which
And
definitely tracks with them.
yes, and I think like the spirituality too is because like Iris's presence is still very much alive throughout the story, like in the things that like Elspeth remembers of her and like really keeps alive. And then in the same way, like her father's love for Iris is still very much alive. So, like, her presence is still there throughout. This one is not a family name, but this about broke me because Yarrow, which is the flower that Elspeth's father like compared her to as a child, and he still gives her Yarrow on
It
her
was her mother's
birthday
favorite
every year.
flower, and like
So it can symbolize protection, divination, and luck, which again, those are all consistent with like their family name, but also everlasting love.
How sweet. He loved that woman so much, and it
Loved
was so
her so much.
sad.
Oh my God, it breaks my heart. I just think like he wants to be a good father to Elspeth, but I think his grief is almost like preventing him.
Like when he saw her wearing her mother's like old dress, like I'm sure that about like did him in.
You know it did. He was staring at the dress like his little heart.
He's a
And
sad old
then
man.
Iris, I feel like we could do this with all their first names too, because a lot of their first names are very symbolic, like Raven, for example. But Iris does symbolize faith and hope, new beginnings, affection, and devotion, which is also very fitting for her mother. Her mother was obviously very loving, similar to Opal. And I just think like Rachel was very intentional when she was naming these characters, and I think that's so fun. And
Like
another
even
thing,
with like Elm's name.
yeah, we totally could do that with all of their first names too, I'm sure. And another interesting thing that we could pick apart is their family colors as well. But yeah, we won't spend too much time on that. It's just there is so much symbolism throughout this book, and I think it's really cool.
Absolutely. So that kind of puts us on to our discussion questions as we round out the first book. So my question was, which Providence card would you want to have?
This is such a good question. I think if I could have any of the Providence cards, hold on, let me pull up the full list so I don't forget about any of them. This is such a hard decision.
I know.
I would want the Iron Gate. which is the one that offers blissful serenity no matter the struggle. And then its downside would be if you use it too much, it steals years from your life. Because I think I would be very selective about using it. I think if I was just going through some shit, I would just be like, you know what? We're gonna be happy. We're gonna have a positive outlook and we're just gonna, yeah, I think that's the one I would want.
I don't know. I think the nightmare card is really cool.
It's really
Like
cool.
being able to like communicate with everybody, like telepathically is really fun.
Yeah. And
I
it comes in
mean,
handy when you're committing treason.
it does. The mirror one was also really cool, being able to turn invisible. However, their downsides are very scary.
I know.
Like
And that went
the
into my decision when I was
yeah, like the
considering
mirror, you'll start to see
ghosts.
dead people. And then yeah, the nightmare one, you'll see like your greatest fears.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I did really consider the negative effects as well when choosing. Because that's kind of scary. The other discussion question is like the flip side of that is which Providence card would you be the most scared to have used on you by someone else?
I don't know. The scythe sounds pretty bad.
It sure does.
Yeah, like probably that one, I
Yeah.
think. Because it's like, I don't have anything. I don't think the chalice one would really. Unless you're like a bad person or like you're like you have a sneaking suspicion of like someone betraying you. Like, I don't think there's any reason to use the chalice card.
Yeah.
I mean, the maiden sounds kind of scary too, though.
I know where it like completely changes you.
Yeah, I would say the scythe, though.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think the scythe would be the most scary just because someone being able to control you and you like feeling like you want to do it, I think that would really fuck with your head too because you would be like, especially if they ask you to do something really bad. And in your mind, whenever that's being used on you, you're like, yeah, I want to do that really bad thing for you. Like, I think that would really fuck with your head
I
because
don't
it
like
makes you
that.
believe that you are choosing to do it.
Ooh, yeah. I think sight is the worst.
Okay, so those are all the discussion questions we had. And next week is actually going to be an off week so that we have plenty of time to read the second book and kind of get ourselves back on track after the holidays. We're kind of slow moving. So the week after, we'll be back on the 27th to discuss the second and final book of the Shepherd King series, Two Twisted Crowns.
And then the week after, if you want to go ahead and get started, we got a couple cute little novellas coming up here soon. So we are going to kick off February by reading 1-800-Cupid by C.L. Cruz.
Oh, yes.
Just a very cute, fun Valentine's Day lovey book.
Yeah, I'm so excited to do that because I love a good little novella, especially the holiday-themed ones. They just feel like a little treat, a little palate cleanser. So go ahead and get started on those if you haven't already. We'll talk to you next time, and as always,
Let's get lit.